Hello, and what is up, everybody? It's me, Marty the Meat Man here, your host of Cross Court Coverage, your All-NBA Celtics-focused podcast brought to you by Primetime Productions, at Primetime Prods on X on Twitter, probably the same on Instagram. Check out primetimeproductions.net. You'll find the articles, you'll find the links to the socials, you'll find the podcasts, you'll find the bios, you'll find it all at primetimeproductions.net. I'm recording this late on a Sunday, later than usual. If I record on Sunday, it's usually at the crack of dawn. We're going to give a big old shout out to Daylight Savings Time for fucking over my whole clock and everything. Let's get a little sappy. Let's get a little maybe the story and the reason behind the delay will make everything a little bit better. And just forgive me for the sorry for, you know, posting a day late. Never a dollar short though. I yesterday went out to finally meet up with a whole bunch of people from Bruins Twitter that I have known for quite some time. I got to see Bobby Brewski, the man, the myth, the tripod, acts absolutely as electric in real life as he puts out on his Twitter and in Bobby's corner over at Only Bruins. Got to see Papa Boosie, talk about, you know, the new baby, talk about, you know, the happy birthday. Who else was there? Shan from across the pond was in. Finally got to meet her. Catherine, Marissa was there, Greg, Tanya, Haley. I don't want to forget anybody, but if I did, I'm sorry, but I, you know, it was great. It was great to drive out. Had to go, you know, haul ass from my home base over here in Connecticut to Boston, but happily did it to see a whole bunch of beautiful people and spend some time, you know, just connecting and you know, just having, I mean, honestly, Calhoun's, if you haven't gone in Calhoun's and fucking I think it's Saugus, Boston people gonna come kill me, but Calhoun's just outside of Boston, fire, absolutely fire, delicious food, great atmosphere, great people. But dinner was at 8 and we stayed for a while. We were all having such a great time. And then you look at the clock and you realize, fuck, it's daylight savings time. So it went from saying I was going to get home at 2 to once it went, or not, yeah, 2 a.m. So once it would have been 2:01, it went to 3:01. I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, the clock's jumping ahead an hour. Damn. So I didn't get it until like 3:34-ish, but definitely worth it. Sorry about the episode is delayed. My heart is so full to connect with a whole bunch of people. I mean, honestly, like, yeah, time to get sappy, even more sappy. Charmin soft, here we come. just forever grateful, one, for Bruins Twitter, for the friends and the acquaintances and the connections that I've made. Bruins Twitter got me, you know, involved with getting to know Boosie, Brett, Bobby. Parlay that into, you know, joining this whole primetime ride and everything. I mean, this is episode 30 of this show. A year ago, I wouldn't have told you that I had a podcast. A year ago, I would have had no idea that this is where I was going to be, where this is where things were going. But very grateful for the butterfly effect and dominoes that have come from knowing those guys. And, you know, also getting to know everyone at primetime, getting to know everyone from, you know, the Twitterverse that I, you know, converse with and joke around with and talk sports and everything. You know, it's great to make those connections. And it just feels like every time I go to Boston now, I have people to visit, not just games to see, which is awesome. So shout out to everybody. Shout out to Bobo from coming all the way out from in the beaches of Winnipeg, bud. He's a beauty. He's an absolute beauty. It was so good to meet him. Good to meet him in person. But yeah, I mean, oh, let's get even more sappy. Shout out to this whole primetime thing. Shout out to Brett One because of the success, and shout out to Davis as well. Brett and Davis did a primetime preview, a live stream for all of the trade deadline for the NHL. They held it down for like, I believe, 6 or more hours, and they ended up getting like 6.5K viewers in total. Like, man, I know Brett and Davis were like talking about getting 1K, 1.5K, and just to smash that number and just to see how much fun they were having. And, you know, Bobby jumped on, Boosie jumped on, I jumped on. Like, we all just like came on and like, you know, added our little piece to it. And it's just like this beautiful melting pot of, you know, different personalities, different opinions, everything like that. And, you know, to see it all come together. And, you know, also just shout out again to the marathon runners of Brett and Davis for just carrying it down, carrying it the whole way through. But, you know, it's great to see that, you know, people are taking notice. And like, it's awesome to see that for my friends, for, you know, this company, this network that, you know, I am part of and blessed to be partnered with and grateful. Does not even grateful, proud. Like, I don't know. It's a great place to be right now. It's a really cool situation to be. Oh my God, I can't even. Another one more. Jesus, we're gonna I'm got a lot. Got a lot to be grateful for this week. Honestly, a lot to be very, very appreciative of. So Monday, I came home from my 9 to 5, and there's a box on the kitchen table. I guess my roommate brought it in. And I don't think anything of it because I didn't order anything. Walk around, do like, you know, the normal get home stuff, change, get into my like comfy clothes. And I go back over to the box and I'm like, what is this? It has my name on it. It has Nike on it. I'm like, well, what the fuck did I spend money on? I open it up and it is a whole bunch of bubble wrap. And then it kind of looks like a box of probably shoes underneath it. So I'm like, what shoes did I order? But what's like all this extra stuff? So I unwrap the top layer of bubble wrap, and in it is this framed screenshot of my tweet back in June 6th of last year when I first got the first 4 colorways of the JT1s. Just like I shouted out Jason Tatum and you know, Jordan Brand and everything, just, you know, saying like I love the design, which I do. I love the JT1s. They're a great shoe. But, you know, very cool for them to, you know, to notice that, to print it out, frame it, and, you know, send it back to me with also a self-addressed card. And I pop open the card and it just says, I'll open it back up. Martin, or Meatman, or whatever you want to call me, time to start your second collection. So, at Jumpman 23, signed at Jumpman 23, and I'm just like if you didn't see it on my Twitter, it's there. And then Nice Kicks also reposted it on their Instagram. Shout out Nice Kicks. But you know, I got a box. Open them up, and it turns out to be the Mama's Boy Tatum 2s. And like, I had no idea. I had no, like, there was nothing in my mind that thought I was getting anything sent to me, or like, I didn't order anything. I didn't know that anything was coming in the mail. And I guess like my, maybe my Twitter email is the same as my Nike email, or they put two and two together. I have no idea how they did it or how they figured it out on the back end. But I am so like, dude, speechless, like insanely jaw to the floor, jaw dropped, like texted my family, texted my girlfriend, texted every, like texted a whole bunch of people, was just like, dude, what the fuck is this? So shout out Jordan Brand, shout out Tatum. I am so excited to rock those. Awesome marketing, even if they've, even if that's all that it is, like what a cool way. I saw on a Twitter and on Instagram that a couple other people, shout out Bree, Marie D, I believe Fritz, there was a couple other people who also were gifted with this care package. There was a father and two sons, two young boys. It was beautiful to watch them open up their care package. So shout out Nike, Jordan Brand, Tatum. That was, even if it, I wasn't involved, even if that was just the giveaway and I saw it from afar, that would have been fucking awesome. But to be included and to get this pair of Tatum 2 is like, blessed. I stunned still. Surreal, honestly. It's almost a week later. It's still surreal. So a lot to be grateful for. My heart is extremely full this week, extremely happy, extremely proud. It's grateful. I can't, there's a plethora of goddamn adjectives to explain how I'm feeling, but I can't, there are few and far between words that I can pull out right now. But shout out to everybody who listens to the show. Shout out to everyone who supports PTP. Shout out to everyone who just interacts with me on Twitter. You know, like I know a lot of people say this shit is just the internet and everything like that. But if you're a genuine person in general, you know, genuine things will come back to you. I always say that. And I always feel like, you know, put out into the universe what you want back. And I just try and stay positive and, you know, push out being grateful and appreciative. And, you know, I have been lucky as of late that that has been what the universe has been giving me back. So sappy, corny bullshit over. Sorry. But also explaining why I wasn't, the episode didn't drop today, Sunday, and it will be dropping tomorrow, which you're listening to today, Monday. but yes, grateful, heart is full. So happy to put faces to names and get to converse with people from the Twitter sphere that I haven't been able to meet yet. And I hope to continue to meet people. Yeah. But with all that being said, we got a job to do here. We got to get back to that cross court coverage of it all, the basketball of it all. as always, we will start with injuries because love to get them out of the way. Love to not talk about them. First and foremost, Evan Mobley was marked with a left knee sprain. His time of return is unknown currently. They hope that he can come back before the playoffs, if not be healthy for the playoffs. They're sitting at the 3 seed in the East. It's a big hit, especially with Donovan Mitchell being banged up right now. A lot of teams are hitting this injury bug right before the playoffs, and I don't know. Some of these teams are make or break. I mean, the Cavs are more of a playoff lock, but we shall see. The next injury on the list, another big one. Karl Anthony Towns is dealing with a left knee torn meniscus. Indefinite timetable as to when he may come back. I don't know. This is a yet another big injury to a team that is very poised for the playoffs, but now crucial players getting hurt in the stretch. I mean, I hope. Like, this is the thing. I don't want to see these teams who have been kicking ass all season lose their guys, and that be why they get bounced out of the playoffs or anything like that. But these are two injuries that could lead to that kind of situation. So definitely something to monitor, definitely something to keep tabs on as we move forward. Ben Simmons. Like, I do not like to make light of injuries. I do not like to poke fun at people when they get hurt. I don't wish for injuries. I have the moral compass when it comes to all this shit that every basketball fan should have. But when it comes to Ben Simmons, lower back nerve issues, out for the remainder of the season. I think I saw a graphic that he has played 49 games in the last 3 years, maybe 4 years. It's hang him up. He's got one more year on his contract. Like, I get it. You're getting paid to do absolutely nothing in the long scheme of things. Great financially, as long as you're not blowing all that money, like, cool. But I don't think this experiment is going any further. Like, I think if the Nets keep him for next year, or even if they trade him or anything like that, I don't see a team necessarily buying him out, but I don't see another team paying him when that contract's up. I don't know, but it's been so many years of the same injury, quote unquote. And I only say that because, like, he's been cleared by doctors. People have said that this has been taken care of. And it just seems to be more of a in his head thing, which if you need to get the help for straightening your thoughts out or getting your confidence, it feels like a bad, bad case of the yips, really. It sucks to see, but at this point, like, it's almost a joke in itself because it's what we expect. We know. I go to the injury section and I have a blurb about Ben Simmons. I mean, I won't again because he's out for the rest of the year. But like 49 games. I want to confirm that. Let me look it up real quick. Games started. Larry, pull up the stats. Games started. Ben Simmons. Let's go to StatMuse. In the last five games? No. Well, he played 15 games this year, which is nothing. Yeah, that's not good. Let's go to stats. Games played this year was 15. Last year was 42. The year before that, 58. The year before that, 57. So in the last 4 years, 4 years. Let's see. I want to do the math. I got to do the math. The math's got a math. Bad radio, but sorry. 42 plus 15 plus 58 plus 57 equals 172. All right. So 82 times 4 years, 172 divided by 328. 52% of his games. In the last 4 years, he has played in 52% of his games. That's not accounting for minutes. That's not accounting for anything because the number of started is even lower. Drops off by, like, I think probably another 5-10%. I don't know. At this point, he's cash. He's cashed the cow. He's got his money. Take it and run. Find a way to parlay this into something else for a career. But I don't know that the NBA is right for him anymore. I don't know that the NBA is going to continue to try and figure out this enigma of injuries. But yeah, sorry, Ben. Next injury on the list, Steph Curry with a right ankle sprain. He's going to be out for a few games. It shouldn't be too long, but it is crucial as the Warriors themselves are kind of meddling, I believe, at the tail end or the bottom of the play-in situation. Yeah, they're down here at 10. So, I mean, Steph out for a few games is better than Steph out for a long time, but we are in crunch time. There is not much basketball left to be played. I believe there's, at this point, almost 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks left. I hope they can ride the wave. I hope they can, you know, manage the minutes and figure out how to win games, because the playoffs are always electric with the Warriors in it. I know I give them a bad rap, and I know I talk smack about most of their team, but since the dynasty started, and I'll use the D word, the dynasty started back in like 2013, 2014, it feels like they have to be there. And they haven't moved on from everybody. So you almost have to root for them and say, like, hey, you've bet your guns on the same core for this long. You hope that Steve Kerr and the management over there, you know, aren't being dumb about it. I know that I have said that they are, but they're right on the brink of proving everyone wrong, playoff wise. I don't know about getting to the show. I don't know about getting to the big old dance. I don't know if they got their ticket to the ball punched, but like, they deserve to be a playoff team with the roster that they run forever. And just like the aura that is around them, it would feel weird to see them bounced out. And you have the Rockets and the Jazz knocking at the door. And the Rockets and the Jazz are not. The Rockets are on their way up. I don't know how the Jazz are so bad, but still kind of maybe possibly in the mix of a deep seeding for the play-in. Let's see, update on Russell Westbrook. I almost said Wilson. That's football. Russell Westbrook did have surgery on his left hand. I know we talked about him hurting his hand last week. He will be out for the remainder of the season, but they are hoping that he will be back for the playoffs. You know, the Clippers are sitting at 4 seed. He's their sixth man of the year. I don't know if he's the sixth man of, like, the year, but he's their sixth man of the year. And they just got to hold tight for the playoff situation and hope that he can be back. And, you know, they go back to running their five starters with Russ coming off the bench. Another big injury for a playoff bound team, or a play in right now team, Benedict Mathurin, torn labrum in his right shoulder. He will be out for the remainder of the season. I don't know that there's a chance that he comes back, even if they make a deep playoff push. I do think that it is just chalked up to a big old that's it for Benedict Mathurin this season for the Indiana Pacers. Nesmith has been fine. I don't know if he's still hurt or not. They got rid of Buddy Hield. I know they got Siakam, but he doesn't really play small forward at all. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how they navigate this injury, especially moving forward, especially, you know, now being at the 8th seed and seeming to try and claw their way back up into a more solidified playoff position. That's it for injuries. As we move forward, there are at least two signings or two contract situations of note. Patty Mills, free agent, decides to sign with the Miami Heat. I know I said Patty Mills would be a good fit at the end of our roster. So with that being said, of course, if we don't sign them, the Heat will just pick up our scraps or, you know, take anyone that was supposed to be good on our team. So congratulations, Miami, on being second fiddle or second banana, or, you know, getting our sloppy seconds, however you want to say it. Second sucks. So keep being those guys. Just keep being those guys. And let's keep watching. You know, you get nearly there. You're not in this Eastern Conference is not going through Miami this year. It is not going to be a repeat for the Heat. I think they're struggling a little bit identity wise. especially a point guard. I just don't know what they're doing with Terry. Now Patty Mills. It's just interesting. I think they also got the Lon Wright. Like, what? They keep signing point guards. They don't know who to have. they don't know who to roll with. It's interesting. Someone who does know who they're rolling with. Shout out to the Raptors. They have signed a 2-year extension to Kelly Olynyk for $26.25 million, so around 13 plus million a year for Kelly. Solid roster filler. Always a dependable, day in day out, get his job done kind of guy. Will always get you the rebounds. Good for maybe a block or two a game, here and there. A presence, not, you know, crazy good, but a presence in the paint on defense. Former Celtic, he's been everywhere. Jazz. I think he was on the Heat for a little bit. Kelly Olynyk decides to get a 2-year stay up there in Toronto. So shout out to him. Shout out Toronto for figuring that out. I know they're in a rebuild, so getting a couple of veteran guys at decent rates. I mean, $25 million, that's $13 million a year. It's not too bad. It's what you pay for a guy like that. And I think they will get, you know, their young core to kind of just, you know, pick his mind and everything like that. He's basically the Pascal Siakam replacement over there for this rebuild, or for the next 2 years at least of the rebuild. But that is everything of news, note, contracts, everything like that. As the seeding is right now, the Celtics are still at first in the East, 49-14. The Cavs are now second in the East. I spoke incorrectly before. I said they were third. They've been bouncing around with the Bucks. Second in the East are the Cavs, 8 games behind us at 41-22. Third are the Bucks. Fourth are the Knicks. Fifth are the Magic. Sixth are the Heat. 7 are the Sixers. 8th are the Pacers. And then the play-in teams as of right now are the Bulls and the Hawks at 9-10. Injuries plaguing the Bulls, plaguing the Pacers, plaguing the Sixers. I don't know what the Hawks are dealing with. I mean, I just don't know what's going on over there in Atlanta. But, tight with some banged up teams. It's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. Over in the Western Conference, the Thunder have taken the number one seed away from the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves and the Nuggets are tied for second and third at 44-20, only half a game behind the Thunder. Clippers, 2.5 games back at 4. Pelicans at 5. Kings at 6. Suns at 7. Mavericks at 8. Lakers and Golden State rounding off the play-in teams at 9-10. There's a little bit more of a gap between the Warriors, the Rockets, the Jazz than there is over in the East. So it does look a little solidified for the play-in teams over in the West, but let's not forget that the Steph is a little banged up, and we're going to see what that means going forward and how long he's out. Hopefully they don't slip up and let the Rockets come in, or even worse, the Jazz come in, because I've heard all year that the Jazz are a rebuilding team, but that's not what the Warriors or Lakers or the Rockets are really saying. The Rockets are quote unquote on the come up. The Warriors are who they are, and the Lakers are who they are. But this Jazz team is only five games behind the Warriors. And the Rockets are 5 games behind the Warriors. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. but speaking of the teams, speaking of the situations, we have to talk about the Boston Celtics. When I last spoke to you last week, when I left you last week, I said that I wanted to see the Celtics dunk on the Warriors, which they did. They beat them 140-88. I said I was wary of the Cavaliers. I was wary of the Nuggets, and I was confident in our ability to beat the Suns. We did beat up on the Warriors, as I predicted. We did beat the Suns by 10, not as I predicted number-wise, but as I predicted vibes-wise. And we did struggle and actually lost against the Cavaliers and the Nuggets. The Cavs game, up by 20 going into the fourth, blew a lead. Dean Wade masterclass. I don't know what to tell you. It's unacceptable to just blow these leads, and I really hate that it's something that we still deal with. But I did say that the Cavaliers were hungry and are trying to prove that they are the two seed in the East. They were the three seed when they beat our asses, and now they're the two seeds days later as I come to report it. So, you know, they're dealing with injuries, but they're still beating teams that they need to beat. So, discipline is definitely something that needs to be pulled out as a lesson from that game. And then as for the game against the Nuggets, I mean, we got to be honest when we got to be honest. It was a little bit of a stinker from Jason Tatum. I don't know how to sugarcoat it. I don't know how to, you know, I got to be honest. Derek White didn't do great either. Al Horford struggled. JB went the fuck off. KP held his own. But by God, was it a bit of a stinker from everyone else. We let Joker get a triple-double. We went Jamal Murray get damn near a triple-double, or at least a double-double. Yeah, I mean, this was an ass-kicking. Everyone was saying that this was going to be a game that was a preview of the finals, of things to come, of, you know, what we want to see in June. If that is a preview of the finals, we're going to get swept. I'll be playing. If that is how we play against the Nuggets in a 7-game series, we will be swept. I know we lost by 6. I know that it was a Tatum stinker, and that happens from time to time. I get it. I understand. And the thing of it is that KP and JB had a great game, or a decent game. They had good stats. Both had double doubles. But it's this mentality or this situation or this thing that surrounds the team when we lose a game that I don't think is built up enough right now. Like, there are times where the Celtics will lose a game, and as we lost to the Cavs by 1 point after giving up a 20-point lead, like, that should piss you off as a player, as a coach, as anyone involved in the team. And to come out and, I mean, look, I get it. People are saying Tatum's MVP run is over now that he's had two bad games. Like, no, or a bad 3-day stint or whatever the hell it was. No, I still think that Tatum, even if not now, because of all the bullshit narratives and everything like that, isn't an MVP candidate. He is MVP caliber. And he's going to stay there and continue to climb higher and higher on that ladder. But I do think it's a time to reflect, a time to really learn from these losses. I was saying earlier last week, where we were due for a loss. We were due for at least one or two bad losses. And I was wary of the Cavs, and I was wary of the Nuggets. And I'm hoping that Joe Mazzulla was thinking the exact goddamn thing. Because these need to be lessons. These need to be things that moving forward don't happen again. And I'm not just saying like, oh, Jason Tatum can't have a bad night. Anyone can have a bad night. But if one guy is going to have a bad night, we need other people to step up. Drew was decent, but Derek White being blasé, Al Horford being not great, Tillman didn't do anything. Like, we went to the bench and Pritchard did nothing, absolutely nothing in 11 minutes. And Sam Hauser had, what, 2 threes? Like, cool. There needs to be, with a team this good, there needs to be more accountability and more presence of mind to show up and go crazy, which shout out to JB and honestly KP. Like, they both played their asses off against the Nuggets, and they tried everything that they could to get the W. And it can't be just two guys, especially if the quote-unquote best player on the team is having a bad night. It's going to be an all-around team effort at that point. I'm not saying that this team lacks effort or anything like that, but I do think that they lack a little bit of seriousness. I don't know if it's because they hate the regular season and they know that they're a great team. They're the one seed. They just want to get to the playoffs where it matters, where it counts. But, like, it is behavioral. And that's not something you want to carry to the playoffs. That's not something you want to carry as a player. That's not something you want to carry as a team. Like, do not get in these bad behaviors, bad habits of kind of shrugging off or slouching down, or, you know, take it seriously every day. Whether you're playing the Nuggets, whether you're playing the Hornets, whether your best player is having a bad night and, you know, it seems like the lead is just too far away to get, or if, you know, you're up by 20, we can't be giving up leads. We can't be quitting early on the game. Like, I don't know. I don't want to see this shit come to playoffs. And I'm hoping, as I said last week, these two losses are going to be the lessons that are needed and the lessons that will be learned and the final push and the final adjustments to get this team right, to get this team poised, to get everyone calculated and focused up for the playoffs. And I believe in Joe. I believe in these boys. I believe in this team. I'm not knocking anything. I am just saying, as the eye test has shown, there are a few behavioral things that need to be checked and need to be fixed. And I think they are fixable. And I think that because of these two losses, as we saw, they came out and, you know, beat the Suns. After, you know, this has been a bad road trip, honestly. But they beat the Suns now. They have a chance to, in the future, and by the future, I mean in this upcoming week, they still have another away game against the Blazers tomorrow. That's Monday for everyone who's listening. And then they have the Jazz on Tuesday. So, you know, they can finish the tail end of this road trip with W's. They can take a 5-game road trip and turn it into 3-2 and end up winning the series. So make the adjustments, get right, adjust, and make this final push for the playoff season. Make this final push for what's to come. And I don't know, get the attitudes correct, because this complacency with being number one in the regular season, while I get it, and while I get this is going to be a playoff contender and a playoff team and a team trying to make a push, complacency leads to laziness, leads to a lack of effort, a lack of drive. And I'm not saying that that's what we're seeing necessarily, but it can get down that road if you dig the rabbit hole too far. But again, I trust Joe. I trust the team. I think there are leaders there that will, you know, stand up and, you know, I think they see the writing on the wall as well. They know who they are. And I think they're, you know, they have to stop being comfortable, get uncomfortable. They just lost two big games to two competitive teams that they very possibly could see again in the playoffs. One being in the finals and one being maybe the conference finals, who knows? But with all that being said, we still are 49-14. We still are the first team in the East. The sky is not falling. I am not worried about where this team is going to be. I still think that we're going to end up being the best team in the East. I think we're going to have home field advantage or home court advantage going throughout the playoffs. It's just some behavioral shit that I think in the long run is more detrimental than to just ignore it. I think that it is something that, you know, needs to be adjusted. And again, I believe in the players and the coaches to do so. So I'm not really raising too big of a red flag, just more of a, hey, y'all, like, y'all best be seeing what I'm seeing, because I'm sitting here on the couch or in the stands. I'm not involved. So the paid eyes and minds better be keeping tabs. So after the Blazers on Monday and the Jazz on Tuesday, the Celtics are finally back in TD Garden on Thursday the 14th. They will be playing against the Suns. Then they are back on the road on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, which seems inappropriate. The Celtics should always be home on St. Patty's Day. I hope they bring Lucky at least along to DC while they will be playing the Wizards on March the 17th. With that being said, I think that the Trailblazers are a bad team. I think the Jazz are a bad team. I think that the Sun, we've already beaten the Suns at their home. We need to come home and beat them there. And then the Wizards are a bad team. I think that this is an easy 4-0 week coming up. Bounce back from it was a 2-2 week last week. In any other situation, in any other team, no one's blinking an eye. They go, that's fine, that's a good week. But when you're number one, when you're under such a microscope as the Celtics always are, 2-2 seems like the sky is falling to so many people. But I do think that this week has the potential for being a 4-0, a good old sweep from Monday to Sunday. Let's see. Anything else of note? Anything else to talk about? Check off. No, I think that covers all the bases this week. A little bit of a short and sweet episode, I suppose, but you know, it's grind time. It is right before. I want to count it out. I want to see. So we are at March the 10th, and the season ends on April the 14th. So we are literally 4 or 5 weeks out from the end of the season. It's crunch time for a lot of teams. It's coast time for some teams. Some teams are, you know, fighting for home court, i.e. Celtics. We're 8 games ahead, but we should keep that gap. The West is figuring it out. I don't know who's going to come out on top over there. I mean, with Kat's injury, depending on how serious it is, the Nuggets could jump up. The Thunder could stay atop. I mean, even the Clippers have a chance to climb. They're only 2.5 games back. The West is tight up top, and it's tight down near the play-in. So I don't think any of the seeding as of right now is set in stone. I do think there is some moving and shaking to be done. It'll be interesting to see as we move forward. But yeah, couple key injuries this week that really could shake up the tables. So we shall see. One, how the Celtics, you know, push forward, and also two, how some of these playoff teams manage losing guys like Evan Mobley, Cat, Ben's, never mind, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Benedict Mathurin. Oh, yeah, we'll exclude Ben Simmons from that list. But everyone else, playoff or play-in team, looking to figure things out with a key injury. So it's getting spicy towards the tail end of the season. As I said earlier, extremely grateful it is episode 30. We've been doing this for 30 almost straight weeks, not straight all the way through, but 30 episodes, dude. We are 5 weeks away from playoffs. I am ecstatic for what is to come for this Celtics season. The playoff grind is going to be where we see some of their best ball. And I'm not just saying that as a homer. I'm saying it because I do see them play up to their competition as much as I see them play down to their competition. So as long as you are a team that is worthy of battle, these boys will give you a game. If not, we're figuring it out day by day. And with all that being said, we are, again, sitting at 49-14, 77.8% win percentage, 29-3 at home, 8-2 in the last 10. Shout out again to everybody who showed up at Kowloon's yesterday. Kowloon's. I don't know. Great food, great people. Amazing to see Bobby. Amazing to see Boosie, as always. Great to connect with Greg, Tanya, Shan, Kat, Catherine, Kat, either way. Marissa, Greg, I think I already said. I'm going to repeat names at this point. but great to see everyone. Bobby is every bit as electric as he as I think I said this before. I'm at the point where my brain is mush. I've been on very little sleep. I don't know what time it is. I thought we got rid of daylight savings. I'm rambling. Let's wrap it up. As always, I am Marty the Meme Man. We are Cross Court Coverage. The Boston Celtics are atop the East, 8 games ahead of second place, 49-14. And if all that doesn't get you jazzed up, if all that doesn't get you screaming, "Go Celtics," then I got one thing to tell you. Because as always, forever and always, it is "Go Celtics" or "Go fuck yourself." Peace.